good morning and a very warm welcome to our service this morning, which is being led by our minister, the Reverend Claire Davison. Our warmest wishes to Mrs. Nina College, who is celebrating her 100th birthday on Saturday, the 18th of July.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, for God's love endures forever. We come to sing our first hymn, Stand Up and Bless the Lord, you people of his choice. Stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. Come to our opening prayer, beginning with words from Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. Father God, as we come before you today, we praise you and thank you for all your goodness to us. We give thanks that our sins are forgiven in Jesus. And we bring our offering of worship to you today, asking that we may worship in spirit and in truth. Open our hearts to hear your word to us and to take all that moves us in our worship today to our daily living in your kingdom. For your glory we pray.
Amen.
Our first reading is Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 13. This reading comes in a section of assurance and comfort to Israel when Assyria had taken over the kingdom and a time of exile. Isaiah looks to a time when they will be repentant and return to God. And in this passage, we hear that assurance in a promise that God's word will not return empty. It is read to us by John Foster.
As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever.
Our second reading is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. The parable of the sower. This parable and its explanation begin a series of Jesus' parables in Matthew's gospel, often called kingdom parables, as they are about various aspects of the kingdom of God. This is a familiar parable, and it's easy just to look on the surface. Today we will delve into it in a different way. For now, it is read to us by Mandy Foster.
That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
It's my pleasure to introduce that our sermon reflection comes to us today from Mr. Alex Walker, lay pastor of the United Reformed Church in South Leeds. Thank you, Alex, for taking time out of your busy week to prepare this for us.
It is a great pleasure to be able to share with you all the word for today. I am buoyed by the knowledge that even though we cannot see each other face to face or share fellowship together, we can still grow as a people of God through these means. Today's gospel passage is a very familiar one. I have memories of performing short plays and sketches at my Methodist church in Worcestershire on this very reading. Indeed, it is one I have used recently at a parade service at South Leeds not long ago. It tells the story of Jesus leaving the house he is staying and going to the shore, where he climbs in a boat and sits before addressing the crowds that have come to listen to him. His first lesson takes the shape of this parable, the parable of the sower. I won't waste time going over the parable again. Instead, I would like to hang on to one of those words that describe the scene in front of us. That word can be found in verse 2, crowds. I find it interesting that the writer of the passage has chosen to emphasise that the groups listening to him were separate, possibly divided groups. Over the years, I have been gifted many stories from members of congregations all over the place as to why they are at church that day. Most are happy stories of servitude and duty. Many are stories of longing for the word of God, for a lesson or a sentence to get them through the things they have going on or coming up that week, and they need the strength to face it. For some, it is because they have always gone to church, sat in that pew, and sang with great gusto their favourite hymns. On this day, at the side of this lake, it didn't matter why they had come to Jesus. Jesus was going to reach out to them and show them something of the kingdom of God. It can be hard being a long-term Christian and church attendee. The same stories get told every 3 years on the lectionary, so we probably only hear about maybe a third of the Bible regularly, unless we choose to study at home or with others. And some of it is quite impenetrable as to stop us. So what new things can we learn about the sower? The first thing we need to establish is that we are often more than one character in this parable. On one hand, we are the seeds, but equally called to be like soil. Let me explain. The first state is the stony ground, where the seeds cannot penetrate. I have found myself distracted during church, perhaps by the noisy heater, perhaps by my rumbling stomach after getting up late and not eating breakfast, perhaps by my 7-year-old who has decided to go for a walk and I'm not quite sure where he's gone. I'm not too proud to admit that more than once I've been distracted by my hangover after celebrating a friend's birthday or having just stayed in and watched a movie with a few beers. Whatever distracts us, it makes us the dry, stony ground and the word of God does not get sown. The second state is perhaps the one we find ourselves in most of the time, shallow ground. We sit and we listen, patiently hanging on every word the preacher shares, taking in the lessons and theology shared so beautifully and masterfully by our ministers and preachers, and been moved by the testimony, prophecy and challenges they've made. And yet, by the time we've had coffee after the service, or lunch once we've gotten home, or watched a bit of Sunday night telly with our families, or gone back to the weekly routine on Monday morning, the lessons have gone, and so has the spirit we have felt. This is one reason why I wish to ban church business from the fellowship directly after the service. If we are moved to love or to talk or to pray, but we get caught up in making sure the heating is set, or the checks are signed, or the right person has a key for the meeting on Thursday, or whatever business needs to be done, then we become the brightest light that burns the quickest, the biggest flash with little bang, the hare running the race against the tortoise. Then there's the third seed that lands on good soil and grows, producing fruit and more seeds. This is what we should be aiming for. This is where the wisdom of God's kingdom is found on earth. But here's the rub. Plants don't grow well unless they are cared for and tended to. This year at home we have had a bumper crop of tomatoes grow in our pots. But if we'd left them to do their things once we've planted them, we wouldn't. We have cared for them. We have brought them in when it's cold and taken them out when it's warm. We have watered and fed them and protected them from bugs and insects. We have loved those plants and invested ourselves into them to help them grow. This is our calling from God. Are we nurturing people into a deep-seated and strong faith, or are we letting them grow quickly when we have the chance and then watching them fall away just as quickly? In our parable, God is the soil and we are the seeds. But equally, us committed Christians have a duty to double up as the farmer too. It is easy for us to start a new initiative in church and be excited for it, only for it to stop when we don't see the instant results we want in return for our hard work. It is just as easy to welcome someone new to faith and expect them to grow and be nurtured in the same way we have been, to find out that actually they weren't quite ready for that level of church or commitment, and now they've been scared away. It is easy to forget in our confidence that we too are often the seed thrown on the stony path and the shallow ground. We can take comfort in the words from Isaiah that we heard earlier, that the word of God is constant and refreshing as the rain to the earth, and that we will be nurtured in our faith as we should aim to nurture others in theirs. So be the best gardeners you can, and tend to your seeds as best as you can, and go out with joy. In the love of Christ. Amen.
We respond to that in our next hymn, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. We now have a prayer for thanksgiving and intercession, written by Margaret Medill and brought to us by Susan Bollen.
In the early days of spring, Lord, our horizons were narrowed to the views from our windows. Then some were able to stretch out into the local streets and see gardens slowly change from winter hues to glorious spring blossoms. Steps changed to tentative strides into local shops, and then to places further afield for those who could return to work. For those benefits, we thank and praise you, Lord. We also thank you for the changes recent days have brought for many, Lord. But, and it is a big but, many cannot as yet take even one step over their threshold. We pray for the sick and the bereaved. We pray for the housebound and the hospitalised. We pray for the anxious and the scared. Help us to cope with how the experience we have lived through have changed us, we pray. Help us to be brave enough to step out when we feel we can, Lord. God of love, God of the broken, we call to you with our prayers each day. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Please join with me in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Father, hear the prayer we offer, not for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously. So we sing our final hymn for today. Go out with words from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And so I am sure that God, who began this good work in you, will carry it on until it is finished on the day of Christ Jesus. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all and those we love, now and always.
Amen.